Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
يلا في البداية كنت واخد المزيكا انها هواية بعدين. لحد ما اكتشفت الموهبة جوايا كلامي مراية لأحداث عشتها بدأت على قدي من وقتها وانا
Listening to a little bit of Masra Deeb or Deeb Stage, a song by the Egyptian hip-hop artist Deeb, and that song was echoed through chants in Tahrir Square, some of you may know. He's in the studio with us right now along with Am Kulel, the hip-hop artist from Mali. He's been raising awareness about the Islamist militants in Mali through his music. And we're also expecting Shadia Mansour, the Palestinian MC known as the First Lady of Arab Hip-Hop. They're all in town for a series of events at the Brooklyn Academy of Music, culminating in a performance on Saturday of the Hip-Hop of North Africa and Middle East. So welcome to WNYC. So happy to have you here.
Thanks, Brian.
Merci.
And do you all know each other? Do you two know each other before this trip to New York?
No, we met here, but I listened to the music of the other artists on internet from in Mali.
You've heard each other's music before, Deeb?
It was our first time, actually. BM, you know, introduced us to each other. Mm. We checked out each other's music. That's just the power of music. We get to know people that we don't know about.
So we heard a little bit of yours. We'll hear shortly from a piece of Am Kulel's, and the song of yours that we played, Deeb Stage, and I should mention that the music video for that song is up on our website, folks, if you want to see it, at WNYC.org. Could you tell us about its message and its role in Tahrir Square?
When I did the song, I wasn't expecting a revolution, actually. I did it in the fall of 2010, which was before Jan 25, which is when the revolution started. So I just wrote it in a way to wake up the people. You know, we were in a state of depression, you know, disappointment. People were just like really, really angry with what's going on, but no one was doing anything. So that was the main message. I was basically explaining about that in my stage, the people that I see in the streets, the corruption that we see every day and everyone basically disregards. So that was my stage. And then when we shot the video, we shot it 2 weeks before the protests. In Tahrir Square, you know, and then my friend, the director, Mustafa Ek, who basically directed the video, he's like, I think this is the best time to release the video. And we did.
And what did it feel like for you when it wound up being a part of that historic moment in time?
I mean, performing the song later on in the square with the protesters, that's how I pictured it in my mind in a way, you know, people, listening to conscience music and moving to it. When, you know, the only thing that was on the radio was basically pop songs, shallow songs, you know, basically.
Now, listeners, we absolutely have time for some phone calls. If you're a fan of Deeb already or of Am Kulel or Shadia Mansour here in New York for a performance on Saturday at BAM, call in and tell us how you've been moved by their music or say or ask anything you want. 212-433-WNYC. If you have friends in Bamako or in Cairo or in Ramallah, report back to us about the role this kind of music is playing there. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And again, we have a link on our website with details about the events at BAM, including that performance on Saturday night, and a link to Deeb's music video. Go to WNYC.org and click on Brian Lehr Show. Am Kulel, you're a musician from a country where music itself has been under attack. Islamist militants ban music in areas of the north they control. The famous festival in the desert was canceled this year, and you've performed there in past years, I understand. Even cell phone ringtones have been banned. What's the status of that now in Mali, as far as you can tell us?
What is? Don't get the question.
How is that going now in Mali?
It's going better, a little bit better, because we have the support of a lot of other countries, like France or other African countries.
You support the French intervention.
Yeah, exactly, because we was in danger. So we are happy to be now a little bit more safe. So it's just about life. So the other question about politics and controlling, it's something that we can't think about when you are in direct danger of death. So I'm happy that now we can have hope, keep on doing music, keep on doing living normal, a normal life. We are trying to live now a normal life.
I want to play a bit of your song SOS that you released in October 2011 before the current crisis in Mali had really entered the Western consciousness. Here's about 30 seconds of that song.
Ses rêves, ne sait plus en quoi avoir foi. C'est le faux qui s'élève, le vrai qu'on enterre. On a changé de loi. Le peuple à la rage, on tue ses rêves, ne sait plus en quoi.
And you don't have to speak French to understand what SOS means. It's the cry for help that it is in English. And I read that this song was banned even from Bamako, the capital, to keep it from inciting violence. Is that true, and is it still banned?
They say that individuals show bad things, I show terrorists, I show gun. They wanted me to show flowers and butterfly, but it wasn't the truth of everyday life in Mali. So I just have to show the truth. If the reality is not cool, it's not my fault. It's just the thing that we live every day.
So don't just show the butterflies and the flowers. Show the reality of life.
I hope that one day I will be a reason to show butterflies and flowers.
I hope there will be a reason, too. And also joining us now is Shadia Mansour, the Palestinian MC, sometimes known as the First Lady of Arab Hip Hop. Welcome to WNYC.
Thanks for having me.
And I understand that you were exposed to rap and to hip hop growing up in London. Do you think you have a different perspective from your fellow musicians who may have grown up in Palestine?
Yeah, I think I have different experiences being a Palestinian in the diaspora. Obviously, different environment, not under occupation. I think in the end, you know, I'm a Palestinian, I'm an Arab, I'm still seen as a foreigner in the West. Our messages are not so conflicting. Because it's all really, it goes back to one place.
I wonder what you each think about why you got drawn to hip-hop. Why have you all been drawn to this style of music, which comes more originally from the streets of the Bronx in Queens than North Africa or the Middle East?
Can you repeat that question?
Why do you think you were drawn to hip-hop, which is a kind of music that doesn't originate in North Africa or the Middle East, but more here on the streets of New York City?
Personally, for me, it's just the generation that I grew up in. It was, you know, it wasn't the... I listened to a lot of classical Arabic music, which inspired me to listen to Arabic music in general. But to get into music and start expressing myself in the day and, you know, in my kind of... in my time, in my time zone, I think that I could relate more to hip-hop, and I felt like I could express myself freely more.
Kulel, same question to you.
I think that hip-hop is the movement of engage people, and for if you want to make conscious songs, because we grew up with Public Enemy, with Grandmaster Flash, Afrika Bambaataa, and even if I come from Mali or from Africa, I was looking a lot of videos coming from everywhere, and I listened to Malian music too.
And did it feel like authentic roots music to you, in a sense, when you listen to Public Enemy and Grandmaster Flash? Or does it feel like, you know, Western corporate culture kind of imposing itself?
It's something authentic for people here. But for me, it's something that I learned from the rest of the world, and I mix it with my culture. So I think that the message, the target is the same, to talk about things that we live every day.
Same question, Deeb. How'd you get into hip-hop?
Just like what Shadia and Amkel were saying, you know, I think we're disappointed with the music scene in the 90s, especially the Arabic music scene in the 90s. It all talked about love and pop and, you know, like having fun. And at the same time, yeah, I don't mind having fun, but there's other things that we should address. So that's why I was attracted to hip-hop, you know, that... courage to express yourself freely without, you know, the fear of being judged, for example. And, of course, you know, we're Arabs, so we like poetry. We're very fond of poetry. That goes way back. So this is the link. This is why, you know, is very attractive for us.
I want to play a clip from one of Shadia Mansour's songs, El Kafia Arabi. The kafia is Arab. Here's about 30 seconds worth.
أنا شادية منصور والحطة هويتي من يوم ما خلقت سيدي والشعب مسؤوليتي لك أنا تربيت بين الغرب وبين الشرق بين لغتين بين بخيل بين فقير شفت الحياة من الشقتين أنا مثل الكوفية كيف ما لبستوني وين ما شلحتوني بدلني عاوصولي فلسطينية من هيك لبسنا الكوفية لأننا وطنية الكوفية كوفية عربية من هيك لبسنا الكوفية.
So from a musical standpoint, it's so interesting to hear that mashup of some traditional sounds and rhythms and the hip-hop. And lyrically, and that song also features M1 from Dead Prez, what's your message there?
The message is that there is a mass distortion of our culture, our identity, seeing that our, you know, that region is being basically... I'll speak for Palestine. Palestine is still colonized. It's still occupied. What I feel that we could probably be, I mean, in terms of defending our identity the most is probably through our culture and our traditions. And I think that's probably the strongest weapon we have today. That's part of the nonviolent resistance that we are, we're all playing a role in.
And I read
from
that,
the diaspora.
I read that you wrote that song after you found out that an American company was making kafias with the Star of David in white and blue, and that angered you because it was part of a Palestinian identity that this company was appropriating for American profits and with an Israeli
twist. They turned a symbol of liberation and resistance and dignity into a religious symbol, and it's not a religious symbol. It never was. It's a symbol that every Arab is entitled to be proud of and have it represent them, not just Palestinians.
By the way, I read that you used to deepen your voice to sound like a man when you first started out in your music career. Why did you feel you had to do that, and what made you feel like you could stop?
I didn't try and sound like a man, but I mean, I knew I was a woman, a female, but I just felt like when I came into the scene, you know, there's a lot of male MCs, and I felt like I had to kind of maybe break through that, with all due respect, break through that kind of male dominant kind of environment, and just, I guess that's where it started. It went in stages, and yeah, I got my female voice back.
I want to take a call for all of you. Joe in Newark is calling in for our three guests who are going to be part of the Hip Hop of North Africa and Middle East concert at the Brooklyn Academy of Music on Saturday night, 212-433-WNYC. Hi, Joe, you're on the air.
Hey, good afternoon or good morning to you folks there. My question that I had was pretty much answered for me listening in, but I wanted to find out, how do these artists feel about the state of hip hop today? If it's lost its integrity from the beginning of its essence, how do they feel about the state of hip-hop today as it is in this country or in the world in general?
Thank you. I'm Kalel. Is it something you think about, the state of hip-hop today? Has it lost its integrity from its original roots? There's a lot of commercial hip-hop in this country. People debate this question here.
I think that hip-hop changed a lot these few years, but there is place for everybody. People want to make commercial, talk about party, fun, and engage lyrics. So I think that it's just about freedom. Everybody have to have his own place and feel free to do the way he feels.
212-433-WNYC. Let's go to another caller. Jack in Manhattan, you're on the air. Hi, Jack.
Hello. My question is, now that Hamas has canceled the marathon to keep women in their place and out of public, I ask, what is the state of hip-hop and free speech, especially for women, under Hamas rule in Gaza? Thank you. I'll take my answer off the air.
Thank you. Shadia, I
guess
that
one's for
you.
What's Hamas got to do with hip-hop?
He seemed to say...
That's my answer.
Yeah. Did they cancel something? And forgive me, I'm not familiar with the story that he's referring to.
Nor am I.
Did they cancel something that...
I'm not familiar with what Hamas has to do with hip-hop.
Let me ask you, as a Palestinian, how have you watched what's happened during the Arab Spring in Arab Spring countries? You've been speaking about Palestinian identity for a long time. Did you expect what has happened in some of the neighboring countries, and does it have any ramifications for Palestinians?
I don't really know what Arab Spring means. Well, I can't really answer that. Maybe you should ask someone.
Call whatever has been happening in Egypt and Tunisia and elsewhere, whatever
you want
to call.
Well, maybe you should ask an Egyptian who is living through it. He can give you a more, you know,
yes. Well, I was curious if you thought it had any implication for Palestinians.
Well, I don't really know what Arab Spring means. So. Yeah.
Well, what does it mean to you, Deeb, coming from Egypt?
I don't like the term Arab Spring. I like to call it the Arab Four Seasons type of thing. It's like it's an everyday thing. It's a lifestyle. It's not like it's not coined, you know, in a certain phase. But people like to do that, you know. So I think revolutions take time to actualize, and we have like another generation to see reap the fruits basically of the revolution.
I read that things have changed for you professionally since the end of the Mubarak regime. I read that you had trouble getting your songs on the radio in Egypt before the revolution, that it was mostly love songs. So what has this meant for you professionally as an artist?
Professionally as an artist, I quit my job. I was actually a banker for 6 years, and I was actually lying to myself in those 6 years. So I decided to quit my job. I knew, basically, I wanted to have a new life for myself, you know, in a new country, a new Egypt. So that's me personally. As for the scene just grew up so much. You know, we were talking about this before the revolution, but after people went through a revolution, I think they opened their minds to a lot of, notions in society.
And the rest of the world watched the uprisings, call them what you will, in countries like Tunisia and Egypt and Libya and now Syria. And though, you know, people call it Arab Spring as though it's one cohesive movement. And I wonder if you think there's one cohesive Arab Spring, if that's the right term, hip-hop movement as well. Are you all singing in a sense about the same kinds of things?
I mean, yeah, we do songs together. We do collaborations with each other. So on my last album, I have a collaboration with a Jordanian MC, a Lebanese MC, a Palestinian MC. So it's like everyone's talking about the same issue, but from their perspective, talking about their own culture references. It's very interesting because we went through very similar histories the past 100 years. So it makes sense that, you know, we understand each other on a political and on a musical level.
Kulel, do you relate to it the same way? Is your music related to his music, related to her music in the political and cultural context of your country?
I think that music is something universal. So it's if you just got good feelings with somebody, it's just a question of feeling connection. And after we can sing about engage things and a lot of things. So it depends.
So there's a lot going on at BAM this week and this weekend with you all and with other performers. What are you hoping to bring to Brooklyn, Shadia? What's the message you want New Yorkers to hear?
First of all, I mean, for me, it's a great opportunity to voice my opinion through my music, to give people a taste of what I do that have never heard my music before. And definitely, create a dialogue, maybe through music, with, you know, the audience. And that's my...
We're going out with Kulel's song Farafina. We've got music videos for the songs we played on the show today on our website. Go to WNYC.org. We also have a link on the site with details about all the events at BAM over the next few days. So, Deeb, Kulel, Shadia Mansour, all participating at the Brooklyn Academy of Music. Thank you all very much for coming into our studio today.
Thanks
for having us. Merci.